Brad, producer extraordinaire, is not here. And I have had an abysmal time over the past 2 months trying to get anyone on the phones. So,
I mean, it's the only reason why we have Brad in the show anymore, really.
Basically, just
so you can do
the
show. Just give me the phones, because we are, now, you might say, you could learn it. We have. Both of us have. And we've both forgotten it.
Yep.
And it's a tedious process.
It is.
And it involves a lot of steps.
Yes.
Steps I'm not really good with taking.
Yeah, neither you or I are a step-by-step kind of guy. We just want to know how to get it done and then figure it out.
Yeah.
But that's not how this works.
It's got to be multiple steps you got to go through. And by saying multiple, it's like maybe four at most.
Yeah, but
maybe four at most.
I get lost somewhere around step number two.
Yeah, I was going to say, one's pretty wobbly. Two, you're like, what? You want me to take another one? So, yeah.
It gets a little murky whenever we try to get someone on the phone later.
Yeah, yeah. It gets pretty silent, actually, because no one comes on the phone.
Yeah, so we'll see. Maybe we'll have John Lucan making his triumphant return, or maybe we won't. Stay tuned.
I mean, I would say odds on that, of it not happening, I would say it's probably about a plus. I would say the money line on us not calling him, let's say probably about a minus. It's got to be a pretty high number, I want to say.
I would say minus 120.
120, I was going to say. I would say maybe 200, but that's pushing it a little too high. Yeah, minus 120, I feel is a good, yeah.
Well, here's the thing, people. So a little peek behind the curtain. We actually have instructions on the wall on how to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, between the two of us, we have, you know, several bachelor degrees. Yet, I still find it troubling every single time. And it causes me all sorts of grief. It makes me wonder what I ever went to college for. So, there's that. It's a very humbling experience.
We're wondering. Still wondering.
We're still wondering, that's for sure. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, we do have some things to talk about. I'm very curious to get your thoughts on the Cleveland Indians changing their name here soon. Like I said, we got Luke into the futures. We got some grinds my gears. We're going to talk about some soccer, get into the NBA. But first, we start with a pretty boring day in the NFL.
A little lackluster, yeah. Yeah, I mean, nothing really stood out, I guess.
Yeah, as far as storylines to come in, and there were no real close games for the most part.
I take it back. The storyline of the week that we obviously happened, the Jets getting completely blown out by the Seattle Seahawks. What was it, like 37-3 or something? Clearly showing they made the wrong mistake last week in getting rid of their defensive coordinator, because what just happened, their defense looked atrocious out there.
They could have used Greg Williams
yesterday. Yeah, they could have used Greg Williams, man. I mean, some all-out blitzing might have done the trick.
It could have helped,
but I'm just going to be saying. So, yeah, Jets really missing Greg Williams right now. Like, that's the biggest takeaway I have from that week.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we called it here. We thought he deserved a promotion by doing an all-out blitz.
He has a spot on our squad for sure whenever we...
Whenever he wants to come and do radio.
Open door policy.
He's welcome to join and stay as long as he wants. He can show up in disguise if he wants, as he's known to do, or just show up regular. We don't care. But Greg Williams, you have a nice chair here for you.
Yes, I do.
Anytime, brother. Hit us up. I will say my biggest takeaways from yesterday, and again, there's not a ton to really chew on here, but I would say Jalen Hurts getting the win over the number one ranked defense in the league in the Saints, a team that's on, I believe, an 8-game win streak going into yesterday. And getting the victory, big win, to come out to for your first start. That's a big win.
That was a huge win. I mean, it puts them back in the mix right now, unfortunately, that they're still in the mix in playoff contention with
It's atrocious.
But, you know, that's just the NFC East we were speaking of. And for them to get that win against, like I said, the best defense in the league, a team that a lot of people have Super Bowl aspirations on, granted, This lack of Drew Brees is not... you can't rely on Taysom Hill forever.
No.
I think he's run his course already.
I think this was, you know, the experiment was cute. But, like, I don't understand why Taysom Hill's getting the start over Jameis. And you could say, oh, well, they won. But if that's how you're doing quarterback evaluations, here's the deal. Mitch Trubisky, after yesterday's game, now has one more win on his record than Deshaun Watson. So if that's how we're just evaluating quarterbacks, then by that train of thought, then Trubisky's a better quarterback? I mean, that makes no sense, you know?
Yeah, of course, I think anyone who's trying wins, at some point in time, they do matter.
Of course.
When you're starting off and younger in your career, not so much. If you want to be an all-time great, you better have a winning record.
Of course, yeah.
But right now, when you're young career, your first 5 years in there, your wins are not as valuable at this point in time. At least I should say that, especially depending on the team that you're with. Because that has a lot to do with your wins. Because everyone knows there's a defense out there to playing football. And if your team doesn't have a good one, you're not going to win games.
Yes, so, that's correct.
It's tough out there for guys that... what are we talking about again? Deshaun Watson.
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill, yes, that's very good.
The
yeah, why are we not having Jameis Winston? I don't know. I just want to see some guy eat some W's out there, and
yes.
Jameis is the man for me.
Absolutely. Just to circle back to what you said at the top of the show, the Seahawks won 40-3.
Yeah, even more so under Greg Williams. Is brilliant.
That's more than five touchdowns for those of you doing the math at home. Man, yeah, that's rough. That's rough out there for the Jets. Well, the Raiders, once again, on the wrong side of another NFL Sunday. Obviously, the week before we started the show with their miraculous, not miraculous, I don't know, their last-minute touchdown against the Jets to win. Again, it's the Jets, so how much can we really expect? They play another opponent, actually one with a winning record this time, in a game that really matters for playoff positioning in the Colts, and get blasted 44-27 yesterday. And it's just... it's so hard to tell with this Raiders team, because just a few weeks ago, everyone was like, man, they played the Chiefs tough. They're a really good team. After a loss, which I came in here and I lamented against, because, you know, no one cares about an almost win, you know?
Hey, man, it don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Win-ins, win-in.
That's right. That's
famous
right.
Last words by Dominic. Actually, not last words, but famous words by Dominic Toretto. Either way, I really find it tough that you're going to give the Raiders, you had a chance. And it kind of makes me wonder, who's good out there in the NFL other than the Chiefs? Like, other than the Chiefs, who's a team out there that actually is, like, somewhat good, that actually has a chance of being like, are the Colts good? Do you want to say the Colts are good? They just gave the Raiders a thumping. I mean, right now, the Baltimore is losing to Cleveland 7-0 last time I saw. Granted, very early on in that game.
Yeah, so who do...
Steelers, are they good? I don't know. I mean, you got the Bills. I like the Bills, but are they good? No. I mean, Josh Allen is still... He's a loose cannon.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the thing with the NFL that's so much different than most other sports... I guess baseball and hockey have this in their playoffs, but it's really... Every year, you don't know. You know who, you know, some. You have an idea of who some of the top contestants are going to be, right?
You can't... I feel like you cannot be a fluke win, and there's very... Once you get to the playoffs, those flukes don't quite happen. You know, the better team is going to... The cream will rise to the top, you know?
That's right, yeah. But in this case, I would say it's just... It's interesting because you have the Chiefs, who obviously just came off an impressive year last year, won the Super Bowl. And again, they're just looking... They have so many ways to beat you. They have the best quarterback in the game. They have a top two tight end in the game. They have a top five... wide receiver in the game. Their running game is stout. So there's really, on offense, there's no weakness. And so you say, okay, well, defense, they're not great at stopping the run. Well, who the hell cares about stopping the run if you're able to score 45 points in any given week?
Like, you can't let them score more than four touchdowns. Like, if you hold them to, like, under four touchdowns, if you give them to four touchdowns, that's impressive.
That is impressive.
Like, you give them to 28 points, that's impressive.
Yeah, and let's just remember, last year in the playoffs, the Houston had, what, a 24-0 lead?
They faced deficit, and they just came back like it was nothing.
It was nothing.
Yeah.
Same, the Niners, you know, had a nice lead going into end the game, and, you know, didn't work out for them either. They can score so quick. You know, it reminds me of the Warriors in a sense, that the Warriors can... at a time when they were clicking on all cylinders, could sleepwalk through a game, and then, you know, in a 4-minute barrage, all of a sudden make up 20, go on a 22-3 run, and the game was out of hand. And the Chiefs remind me much of that team in the way that they could just start scoring touchdowns in bunches in a hurry, three possessions in a row, three touchdowns, and the game's basically over. So, I mean, they're the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl, which makes sense. And I just don't know how you...
There's, like, no one else. There's no other team that really said yet. That's the... I mean, I can't even say from the NFC who they're really going to face.
I mean, sure, the Packers look good right now.
Do they? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is good, obviously. Yeah. But still, that team, I'm not that confident in them. There's not a lot of confidence out there for anybody.
Agreed.
I'm not willing to take my claim in there.
Yeah, know? I agree. Yeah, it seems to me to be kind of a foregone conclusion, which doesn't make the playoffs particularly exciting, but it is what it is.
So, Raider fans, if you're wondering what your future is going to look like for the next, like, 10, 15 years, you're going to be like the Dolphins or the Bills or the Jets. Either one of those three teams.
Yeah, that's what over the last 20 years with Tom Brady and Belichick. Because Andy Reid, you know, he's creative. He's a hell of a play caller. And that offense is just doing some really interesting things.
I will say, the only thing that might help you out, the dude's fat. Probably going to have a heart attack kind of soon. You never
God,
you know?
Don't wish that on him.
I'm not wishing it. I'm just predicting the future.
You're just playing the odds?
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, the dude likes his hamburgers. I respect it.
All right, fair enough.
The man looks like it. He likes his hamburgers.
Fair enough. We have one rule around here when it comes to football and really life in general, and that rule is...
Listen up, kids. Don't trust the Falcons. I've said it once. I'll say it again. You cannot, under any circumstance, trust the Falcons.
As Jerome has always said, don't trust Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, like they have so many issues that Jerome loves to bring up.
Nice. Yeah, I can't go all season long and say don't trust the Falcons and pick them in the Super Bowl.
that would be great, I feel.
I can't pick Atlanta just because all year long, since I think week 3 or 4, I've been saying don't trust Atlanta on this show. So it's not just that. They have had a history of being untrustworthy. And so until they win the Super Bowl, I'm going to continue to say don't trust the Falcons. And if you're betting out there, take New England. Yeah, my bad. I just realized how quiet that was for our listening audience. Great producing.
Yeah.
This is
another reason why we have Brad.
Yeah. This is why we need Statman Brad back in the mix. But it is what it is. But yeah, I think that's enough said about the Falcons game.
I didn't even know. Was there anything to talk about in there? Other than the fact they don't trust them, like they suck? Yeah, okay, congratulations.
Yeah, we could keep it moving.
Matty Melty Nice. Matty Melted Ice. Matty Water. That's what he is right now. Matty Water.
What does Statman Brad call him? Matty Puddles?
Matty Puddles?
Matty
Puddles. That. Okay. He's actually Matty Evaporated Water right now. Okay.
Fair enough.
You're evaporated, but what? Evaporated. Wow.
You got there.
Vaporized.
Last thing I want to touch on from, again, a fairly mundane football Sunday is a lot of people I saw talking about the Niners' chances to make the playoffs still. Let's just stop.
You don't want that business.
We really don't. There's no point. I mean, let's say we just go. First of all, we'd have to basically win out at this point. And the chances of that happening when we still have to play Arizona and Seattle, not great, I would say. Beyond that, you still need some teams in front of you to lose. And then beyond that, we're still going to have Nick Mullins as a starter. We still don't have Nick Bosa in half our defense.
Get the draft pick, y'all. Get a high position in the draft pick so you can get a lottery pick. Do they have lottery picks in the NFL? Is that what considered? Is that top 10 so it's considered a lottery? Yeah. Is it? Yeah, okay.
Top 10 would be considered more like a top 5 pick.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Rudy with the knowledge right there.
Yeah, well, hello, Rudy.
What's up, Rudy?
Can't believe you've been sitting here this whole time so quiet.
Yeah, dude.
How's it going?
waiting for the right moment to chime in, you know?
Yeah. And whoever's calling us, we're talking right now, so it's going to be difficult to answer your phone call while we're all talking.
We appreciate
Again,
the love, though.
We don't have a producer anymore. The producer today is me, and I'm also hosting the show, which makes this a little difficult. So we appreciate you calling to give us your input, but can't really take it right now. So there you have it.
You know, I found something really kind of disturbing this past weekend that is, like, I'm really thinking about it right now.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah. So I was trying to have a little moment in life of, like, you know, got to plan ahead for the future and stuff.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the story of the three little pigs popped into my head. Because you got to think of, like, you know, there was that one pig that worked really hard, got himself a brick house, you know?
Yep.
And that's like, hey, smart. Don't take the easy way, guys. It's not a good way to do it.
Good investment.
And I came to realize, like, kind of try to remember what the three other houses, what the two other houses were made out of, because I couldn't. I was like, I know Styx was one of them.
Yeah.
But I was like, was the other one hay? Was it leaves? I couldn't remember exactly. Mm. Either way, I was like, okay, so it was straw. So straw, Styx, and then obviously bricks. So as I'm looking up the story, I came to realize. Do you remember how the story ends? Like, you just think that the wolf huffs and puffs and try to blow, and they all end up at the third house,
and
they all just survive.
Yes.
So, but apparently, I missed this part as a kid. Truly traumatized right now. Apparently, homeboy wolf in the story climbs into the chimney, goes down the chimney, and apparently, as they're doing this, they start cooking up a fire and then put a boiling hot water and have the wolf drop into the boiling hot water. They cook him and then eat him.
Whoa.
They eat the wolf.
That's
I did not realize that. I was traumatized a little bit.
Wow.
The wolf goes down the chimney, gets cooked, and they eat him. That's how the story ends.
I was not aware of that.
Neither was I. I just felt I needed to share that with you because, like, it had been pressing on my mind for some time.
I'm glad you did. And speaking of that, what's up with these fables that we tell children? Why are they always so awful?
Well, I think that's actually the reason why, because if you do bad things will happen to you.
That's like a scared straight type situation.
I feel like, and we just feel like as a society toned them down a little bit because we're like, oh, we don't need to kill, you know, we don't need to, you know, let kids know that these pigs just ate a wolf. Even though the wolf was going to eat the pigs, and we found that, like, acceptable to a certain degree. Because, like, oh, yeah, he's a wolf. But pigs eating, I guess pigs will eat anything, right? Like, you put it down. I played Red Dead Revolver, and you could just dump a body in there, and they'll eat the body eventually.
Yeah, pigs will pretty much eat
anything.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of, like, the known fact. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's depressing.
Yeah, I was a little taken aback by it. But I guess that's what you get when you try to enter someone's house. You might get eaten.
Isn't Hansel and Gretel a child story, too?
Yeah, that's a little disturbing. A lot of them are. Like, most, I think, like, if you think about all the Disney stories, they actually come from, like, some really dark places.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, and let's face it, Disney loves dark places. Who doesn't love a good family dying story to start off a kid's
life? That's true. Like, Aladdin was a street rat and didn't really know his family and was poor and on the streets.
Simba had his father die, is trampled to death.
Yeah, murdered in front of him.
Yeah.
Bambi's mother mom got shot. That's right. I don't know
Snow
what.
Snow White was cast away and was sent to live in a little in a village with some dwarves.
Yep.
Ariel, the Little Mermaid, had some stuff going on.
Cinderella had her dad die and had her stepmother and stepsisters take over her life and just traumatize her for her life.
That's right. That's right.
And then Sleeping Beauty. Like, her parents... No, wait. Actually, no, I don't... There was no death of family members. I think it was actually just a witch came in and said something about a spindle. And therefore, they like, oh, she can't touch a spindle ever, so they sent her away. Either way, bad things happening to people in Disney stories.
Man, tough.
Yeah.
This is tough out here for these kids.
I feel like the brightest Disney movie that's out there is, like, The Grinch, you know? It's just a dude that was kind of annoyed with life and then found love again, you know?
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. That wasn't a Disney story, though. That was Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, it's Dr. Seuss, but Disney's The Grinch. I always think of that movie. It's a classic to me, I feel.
All right, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorite Christmas movies.
I think so, yeah, definitely. Like, that one, an Elf, classic one, too.
Yeah,
for sure.
I've watched both, trying to get in the holiday spirit. Watch Home Alone over the weekend. Absolute classic.
It has to be, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, I will say, there's a lot of things about Home Alone that really just annoy me because, like,
oh, there's so many. Let's talk about it right now. Let's talk about it because it's fresh in my mind, and I was talking about this with Steph all weekend because it really annoyed me. Okay, one thing that drives me nuts. Well, a couple things. At the very end of the movie, there's just a whole lot of loose ends that were not tied up, and it was just like boom, boom, boom. Things that bothered me all in a row. One, the mom who leaves Paris early. And then rides home with John Candy and his polka band, arrives at the house maybe 2 minutes before the entire family. So this her going out of the way and sleeping in the airport and having to catch a ride, she literally could have just caught the flight with her family. Her entire family got some sleep, been well rested, and got back at the same time. Total waste of time, her going out of the way, giving that couple $500 and her earrings and that pocket protector book thing that she gave up.
Yeah.
Total waste of time for her.
I mean, it's such a waste of an arc in the storyline, too. Like, I do not need John Candy and a polka band taking her. I don't need that. I don't need that extremism. Just get back there as quick as we possibly can on a plane like a normal person.
Yeah, we didn't need that at all. Yeah. So that happened. And then think about this. If you think about all the destruction and damage that was done to that house, right? I mean, if it's not the broken Christmas lights that the one burglar steps on. What was his name? The tall one. Played by Daniel Stern. I don't remember their names.
Yeah.
I just know they're the Wet Bandits.
That's all you need to know.
But so there's Christmas.
Murph. One of them.
I think it was Murph.
Yeah, okay.
I think you're right. But remember, he puts the Christmas ornaments down. He's got the tar on the steps with the nail. He's got, you know, the paint cans flying around, like all this stuff. And then the very next day, and keep in mind, this is happening at 9 p.m. is when the burglars show up. And the mother gets home first thing in the morning. All that went down, and you're telling me little Kevin McAllister had the time to clean all that up?
Oh, yeah, you know.
The only thing he forgot was Joe Pesci's gold tooth. That's the only thing he forgot to clean up. That's the only hint of any nefarious business going on.
Other than the destruction in Buzz's room.
That's it.
That's the only one that he left open.
That's
like,
it.
You know what, Buzz? Screw you. That's what you get.
That's it.
Yeah.
But other than that, and no one had pieced together that, yes, indeed, this kid's home alone. And why didn't he just simply call the cops?
Yeah. I would say a lot of holes in there. And not to mention, too, there is no way in hell this kid's setting up this elaborate plan in like an hour and a half.
No
chance.
Like,
literally,
that's all he has. He's at church when he meets the neighbor, and the scary neighbor finally have the conversation, and they're like, oh, okay, you just miss your family, and, you know, you've had a rough patch, you know, I miss my family too, blah, blah, blah. And it's nighttime, and he gets home, and all of a sudden, when he just drops the blueprints for his whole plan of attack, that alone would take several hours to craft.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're making this kid seem like he's like Albert Einstein.
Yes.
Like 50 years old in his mind.
Right. And so he, not only does he draw up this whole plan, he then executes it with attaching a rope from the top story of the house to his tree house with a little sliding mechanism.
It's called a zip line. That's what they usually call it.
Thank you. He sets up a zip line.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that
alone. Yeah.
That alone is going to take an hour and a half.
And he does it by himself.
He's a kid. Yes, a child.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
We love the show. We love that movie, but we hate it at the same time.
Well, it just gave me so much anxiety as a child because it's like this whole movie ends if he simply picks up the phone and calls the police.
Yeah, yeah.
Movie's over.
Were you ever, I was a kid that was really stupid growing up watching movies because I used to have a couple of things where I thought like, I used to think like, why didn't you do this and just change, like,
yes,
it could actually happen. Mm-hmm. We watch a movie again, like, if they just do it this way, it would all be better.
Right.
And like, there's a chance, like, I used to believe that could happen. That was pretty dumb. I also used to believe, too, that whenever they had an old person, like a growing up stage,
yeah,
they'd have the same actor, and they just followed him for his entire life until he got to
that age.
That's
hilarious. You thought they just waited 22 years to finish the movie?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was dumb. Again, like I said, I'm not trying to...
I mean, you were a kid.
Yeah.
We're dumb when we're kids.
You're literally dumb. You're so stupid.
This is the thing. When people like try to impress upon me about their kids, like, oh, my kid can do the alphabet. I'm like, yeah, I've been doing that since I was like four.
All right. Congratulations.
Try something else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's some advanced calculus, okay? Can you do that? No?
Yeah.
Okay.
If your kid's day trading at five, okay, I'm impressed.
We're okay.
All right?
Yeah, that's something
but
to brag
otherwise,
about.
Otherwise, not impressive. Your kid's still dumber than me, okay?
If little Timmy can drop a deuce like a normal of us, welcome to society, kid.
Yeah.
All right, nothing special.
Oh, my kid was potty trained at two. Great. I'm potty trained right now. Try harder.
It took me a while to get potty trained.
Yeah, try harder though.
Yeah,
That
didn't discern my success. I'm still a failure.
If your kid's,
but, you know,
like, oh, my kid just got his driver's license at 18. I'm like, cool. I've been driving for 18 years. Not impressive.
You're not a good driver.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. Watching kids play sports. Oh my god. If you don't have one, it's agonizing. They're horrible.
It's a certain age. There's like a large gap of time between like I want to say 8 and like no. Like seven.
Younger than that,
well, because like at a point, they're funny to watch.
Yeah, true.
When they're really young, they're funny to watch.
Well,
like,
kids in general are funny to watch when they're young up until about five because their heads are big and their bodies can barely support that weight. So they just look like drunk people walking around all the time.
And then we try to play sports and like coordinate themselves. It's comedy gold. Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
But then it gets to a point where it's just like agonizing. Like, oh my, like, how do you not know the rules of this game already? You've been playing it for 2 years. And it's like, come on. Figure it out.
Yeah, watching like kids Pop Warner, I'm talking like 7-8 year olds,
yeah,
is hilarious. It reminds me of NFL Blitz when you can put the big head mode on because their helmets are huge, and then they're just tiny little humans in there. I'm not saying kids aren't fun. I'm not saying they can't be intelligent for their age. I'm just saying compared to me, I'll dominate your child in any activity you want to do, okay? Except your kid could probably spell better than me, and that's a fact.
Yeah. I mean, I will say there's probably some kids out there who beat me in a game of chess, no doubt.
Okay, sure. Yeah,
I'll give you that.
Sure.
Some child prodigies.
Yeah, there are some child prodigies, but if your kid is simply like doing their ABCs at five, not impressive to me.
Can he maintain a job and a life on his own?
Yeah.
No. Okay, then shut up.
Yeah. No. Is he investing? Let me see what his portfolio looks like. Okay, does he have a 401k set up?
Then don't ask for mine until I see your kids first, okay? That's all I'm going to say.
Exactly.
Yeah, until I can see your kids first, don't ask for mine.
So parents, do a better job, I think is what our point was.
Kevin McAllister, how the hell did you get away with
that? Okay, that's right. That's
he should have been murdered. Like, honestly, for the most part, he should have been murdered. I kind of wish he was. Like, there's a small part of me always kind of like, I wish they got him, and it's like...
An alternate ending that's super dark.
That is, and it's just like they fight through. And like, let's face it, some of the stuff that the guys get caught up in is ridiculously and stupid. Like, the guy, when Murph, I think that tall, steps into the window and just steps on the ornaments.
And
how stupid are you to not look down on the ground where you're going to step?
And then he continues to walk through.
Yeah, it's like, come on, my man. And then, like, the whole... This walking up the stairs with the where it's like all greased up too, and then the nail gets him too. It's like, come on, my man, look around. These are the worst bandits ever.
Okay, thank you. Why are you? You know, there's tar on the steps.
Let's keep going up them.
I'm just gonna blindly continue to walk up the stairs and not look down, and what I'm stepping in that's getting my feet stuck.
I mean, I could have saved your socks and shoes, my dude.
Oh, so many flaws.
Yeah, so many flaws.
But great movie.
Yeah.
A real feel-good
holiday
movie.
Classic.
Yeah. The music is incredible in that movie. Some of the references when he's doing the dancing with all the figures and you have Jordan on the train going around.
Classic time, yeah.
Awesome, awesome.
We're always going to forever wonder what Kevin McAllister's dad does for a living because that is a fantastic house.
And they flew nine kids out to
and other Paris. Family members that were ungrateful people to the
100. Hey, and I want to say right now, Uncle Frank sucks.
Oh, seriously.
Okay? I hate Uncle Frank.
Yeah.
And I honestly would have been fine if he never came back into the story. Uncle Frank was a jerk. He was cheap. He didn't want to pay for the pizza, even though his kids were eating.
Yeah.
And then he called Kevin a little jerk, which really kind of created the whole problem to begin with.
Exactly.
You know? Which, I mean, Kevin kind of was a little jerk, but at the same time, Frank, that's the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah, Kevin was the youngest one. He was just looking for a little bit of attention. And like, Frank, come on, man. You're staying at your brother's house.
Yeah.
You're not going to throw down on the pizza. You're just going to pick the pizza up and leave. And then you're going to call your nephew a jerk in front of everyone. Make him feel bad.
You a jerk.
It's just so frustrating. Wow. And why wouldn't you mention, hey, by the way, as a 5-year-old, yo, I held it down. I don't even know how old he is. I want to say he's like 8 in the movie. I don't remember. But, yo, just to let you know, I thwarted burglary.
Yeah, I don't know why you would be flaunting that all over the place.
Yeah, like, that'd be the first thing I told
my parents.
That's
some big Dick Cheney energy right there.
Yeah, you're not going to sit there and just let it slide. Like, no, I'm going to make sure my mom feels bad because I'm eating pizza and ice cream for the next month on lock. You know why? Because your house would have been vandalized and burglarized if not for me.
Yeah.
Investment banker? What would you guess Kevin's dad was?
It's got to be something on Wall, like you would think that's Wall Street area because it feels like maybe a suburb of New York or something.
No, he was in Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. Never mind. Chicago. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that or like construction. Daddy like owns a bunch of construction companies, something like that, development agency, something like that. Yeah.
I could see that. Yeah, we'll never know. But they do. I never realized this until I was older that this family is stinking rich. And at one point, the mother, Catherine O'Hara, says in the movie, "What about private flights? Can I catch a private flight?" That right there tells you everything you need to know. That family was loaded.
PJ's is an option for you right there. That's otherworldly. So yeah, otherworldly.
That's never been an option in my life or really anyone's life that I know. So there you have it. A breakdown of Home Alone, unexpected breakdown of Home Alone, and your kid's not smarter than me.
So. Next week, Home Alone 2.
Yeah! Join us next week as we break down Home Alone 2. Oh, man. Oh, man, good times. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, California. We are people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Want to thank you for spending an hour of your evening with us here at Talking Bell Practice. Your man, Jarrell, Derek Isamaki, and our good friend, Rudy, in the building. We're going to try and get John on the phone here in a minute. Again, minus 120 that I fail to get him actually on air, but we're going to find out. We also have the news coming up in just one moment. But before we get to the news, I want to thank another longtime supporter of the show and Pullen Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Pullen's has been serving Chico since 1918 at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico. They can be reached at 342-1055. So thank you to Pullen's as always. Thank you to North Rim Adventure Sports as always. We really appreciate the love, and you guys have been rocking with us basically since the beginning, and continue to support the nonsense around here. And so do our listeners. So thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. We've reached that time in the show where Derek catches you up on the going ons around the world with the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That's right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, again, so many stories I want to get to. Not enough time. So I'm going to start with the ones that truly need my attention. Actually, your attention. Start with the annoying first, because this one really struck a nerve. I don't know about you guys. We've talked a lot of crap about airlines before. For the most part, it's never a fun experience. You're all crammed up into a tube, flying thousands of miles in the air, going hundreds of miles per hour. It sounds exciting, but in reality, we all know the process is rough, tiring, and downright just kind of disgusting when you think about the whole process. But we all suffer through it because it's such an easy, convenient way to get from point A to point B as quick as possible. Because let's face it, less time traveling in the air or in your car is better off for me. That's what I always say. But once again, airlines find ways to really stick it to us. We give them hundreds of money. What hundreds of money? Wow, what type of line was that? We give them thousands and millions upon dollars every year for them to treat us like vermin, actually, at times. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some airlines that do the Lord's work as best as possibly can. I can't name one right now. I can't, because I don't want to give anyone that praise, because no one deserves it right now in my eyes, because Southwest, you're still kind of dead to me, even though I'm still going to fly you all the time. American Airlines always finds a way to really just do it dirty. Like, I've never had a good experience with American. Never had a good experience with American. Never. Spirit, well, that's just, I feel Spirit's honestly the best, just because you know what you're getting with them.
Exactly.
Utter crap, but you know what? It's a $50 ticket. Cheap. I'll take it. That's, you know what? As long as you give me a cheap flight, treat me like crap. I'm fine with it.
It's,
you know?
Too cheap.
Yeah. It scares me a little bit. Yeah. Is this plane going to fly? But the next one to hit the list right now, United. Ooh. Now, if any of you have heard this story, I hope it struck a nerve with you too. Now, United, like many other airlines out there, has that law in place where you got to fly with a mask on. Understandable. You're in a confined space.
Right.
Got to have a mask on when you're flying. Not a big deal. Now, that zero, no tolerance policy extends to everyone. Everyone. Whether you're 101 years old or whether you're 2 years old, you gots to wear a mask. Now, unfortunately, for one two-year-old girl, that was a problem. She didn't want to wear the mask. She found it uncomfortable, didn't like it. Family tried very desperately to get her to wear a mask. Two-year-old didn't have it. So what did United do? Not trying to console them, help them out a little bit. Nope, kicked them off the plane.
No way.
Kicked them off the plane because the two-year-old continue to wear the mask. And what did they do, too? Banned them for life as well.
You got to be kidding me.
Banned them for life as well because the two-year-old couldn't wear a mask. Now,
wow.
This is completely and utterly bogus right now, guys. Anyone out there says, oh, yeah, everyone's got it. This is a kid right now. This is a two-year-old kid right now.
It's insane.
Sitting in her father's lap. And for the most part, you can see there are videos of them. photos of him, and he's like covering her mouth the entire time. He's like, he just got it tucked away. She's just curled up in his arms and sitting in his seat with him. But nope, got to wear a mask. She just had her eating the entire time. Oh, sorry, she's just eating right now. You know, she's always eating. You know, this girl is she puts it down. So if you're ever looking for airlines to not fly, add United to that list, guys. Because seriously, screw you guys. Seriously, how? I get it. There are rules in place, and rules are important. They're there for necessities. But time and place, y'all. Time and place. We're all in this world, and it sucks right now, okay? It really does. And you're just going to extend more stress on this family right now. Ban them for life? Are you kidding? Well, ridiculous. Actually, you know what? For them, I'm sure that's actually, you know, I never want to fly you again. I would hope you never would. That's completely and utterly ridiculous. United, you're dead to me. You're dead to me.
You're not going to be able to fly any commercial airlines here soon.
I got to get a PJ, I guess, now these times. You know, I might as well. You know, I better get my own pilot's license.
No bigger,
you know?
Go home, right?
Something like that. Okay, keep moving it on to, again, this is the not as annoying, but just as ridiculous. Now, again, we're in the holiday season, the Christmas time around. People like to put up their Christmas lights.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. Who doesn't love seeing Christmas lights? Holiday lights, if you want to call them that, because you don't think it's started by Christmas. But hey, holiday lights. People putting lights up around this time is glorious. Who doesn't love a good light show in your neighborhood? Driving through, that was like my favorite thing as a kid. Driving around, kind of as many lights as you can find, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Best thing, great game to play around this time. But in Minnesota, they look a little bit differently on lights. So a family put up their usual Christmas decorations, their lights, and received a letter that said, pretty much asking them to take down their lights because it represented a systemic racism against people of minority.
Huh.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm trying to find where the actual... There we go. Thank you.
So Christmas lights, yes, are Christmas racist lights. Now.
The idea of twinkling, colorful lights are a reminder of divisions that continue to run through our society. A reminder of systemic biases against our neighbors who don't celebrate Christmas or who can't afford to put up lights of their own.
Oh my.
Now, you might be thinking, does this person have like a super extravagant display of lights? No. It's actually the most basic lights you've ever seen. It's actually kind of pathetic. If I drove by that house and saw those lights up, I'd be like, God, they didn't do anything.
You'd
like,
all right,
yeah, that would be like, wow, that's really the light show you put on for me right now? No, it is absolutely and utterly bogus. I'm showing it to the guys right now. That's the picture of the lights that guy got flagged.
Most basic house ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, very basic. Nothing special about it.
Very boring.
Wow.
So, wow, watch out for your lights, guys. Watch out for your lights.
Good old Minnesota, huh?
Don't know where this world's coming to right now. Don't not know anymore. Now, one last one, just because this is where it gets fun. For those of you who are flying British Airways.
Just taking out the whole airline industry.
Yeah. Well, this one's actually a resounding review of British Airways. Okay. No, not British Airways. A British Airways stewardesses.
Oh.
We have a stewardess out there who's letting you a chance to join the Mile High Club.
Okay.
If the price is right.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
She's also offering you her undergarments if the price is right, too.
Oh.
Never understood that aspect from guys.
Yeah,
why would I want the undergarments of a woman right now? I don't know. It's a little odd.
Dirty and
guys
sweaty
out there, if you're that's your cup of tea.
By all means.
You know what? To each their own, but not that. Like, I feel like we're taking it a little too far at that point in time. But either way, the stewardess was caught on one of her social media platforms broadcast and suggested photos of herself with statements saying if the price is right, you can offer $33 for her underwear is what she was offering.
No, that's it?
$33.
Really? I expect a lot more.
But then obviously a lot more if it gets a little bit further into the actual thousands of feet in the air where you want to join that elusive club.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Huh.
Club I've always wanted to join it. Who hasn't wanted to be in it? Yeah. Haven't really had the opportunity to.
Yeah, it seems small and uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, probably not ideal in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And I always think of Snakes on a Plane where that scene always gets me of like putting up on a
coming down.
Not fun.
Nope,
not
don't need that.
An anaconda coming out.
So, if you want to have a chance, British Airways, y'all. British Airways, that's who I'm going to recommend this week on Who to Fly With because they got my vote.
All right.
Not United, though.
Not United. All right.
Nor American, too. They're suck. Southwest, I'm still going to fly you guys because you're like convenient to me, but I'm upset with you guys. I really am upset. But you still don't, they know how to do like certain things like make me like still like them a little bit, you know?
Like so the snack mix.
The snack mix. They have snack mix now as their go-to snack, which I think is the premium snack mix out there.
Huh. And if you're ever wondering what Derek and I do in our off time when we're just hanging out, we talk about these things. We had a good debate about snack mix for about 20 minutes over the weekend and why snack mix is superior to the honey roasted peanuts and those dry pretzels they gave you.
Yes.
So
yeah.
That's what we do. We talk about airline food on our off time. So.
One of these days, I haven't had like a legit airline meal in quite some time. Just those quick little trips I've been taking, so you know, no chance for it.
I don't remember the last time I had an actual meal on a flight. Yeah. It's been a while. That's usually when I fly like to the East Coast and back.
I feel like they're not even like they can't. They're never that good.
They're not.
No, I mean
they're not.
I'd rather give me some, you know, Stouffer's lasagna.
There's been a couple that I've had that were decent,
pizza.
But
yeah, that too. I'll take some frozen pizza. Yeah.
No, agreed.
Wrong with that.
I don't know. They should have delivery services in the air. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be
like get like pizza delivered to you in the air as you're flying.
Yeah, that seems totally cost effective.
Dude, I mean, we're getting to that point in time right now, man. Okay,
just how Michael Jordan has those drones.
Yeah, there. See, there we go. See, drones can take my beers to you on the course. Yeah. Why can't a supersonic jet take a pizza to me at 50,000 feet in the air? Anything is possible.
I think there's a lot of logistics behind that, but we're running out of time, so let's just keep it moving, okay? Let's see. Did I do it right? Do we have the one and only Mr. John Thomas Lucan on the line with us?
What?
It worked. Wow.
I'm
more excited that we got
I'm excited to hear your voice, but I'm even more excited that the phones actually worked.
No, not the phones work. You did it right.
I was able to work the phones. Yes.
The phones always work.
Oh yeah.
We don't know how to work.
No, I don't know how to work them. That's right. So
and I haven't been gone for too long. It's crazy to see Rudy on. I guess things are really falling off. And you really need to address me as Sonny Slim. Thank you very much.
My bad, Sonny Slim. I apologize. Sonny Slim, would you like your intro music so we could talk a little gambling?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money?
There you have it, sir.
All right. Yeah. All right. We're back. And from afar. Haven't placed a bet in a while, but I will say I am undefeated living in the Bay Area. So
because you haven't bet.
Yeah, but still I haven't lost. So undefeated.
That's a positive.
Yeah, we just wanted to make sure that we were on the same page. So technically, yes, you have not lost.
I mean, technically, I bet on Cal against Oregon a few weeks ago when I moved down here. Cal won, so I'm technically 1-0. Not the NFL, but still 1-0. Undefeated.
Wow, the Bay looks good on you, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Kind of. Not really. First game. We got 5 games this week. First game, I have Kansas City at New Orleans Saints. Kansas City -3. I'm taking Kansas City. I think Taysom Hill is going to get exposed against that defense this week. Game 2, we have Seattle at the Washington Football Squad. -4 for Seattle. I think they cover that easy. I have Buffalo at Denver. Buffalo's -6. Denver is peaking like I did in high school. Buffalo's on the rise. We're taking Buffalo -6. Then we have the good old Niners at the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys are +3. I'm taking Dallas Cowboys. I even like the money line. I think they went outright. Niners are just not looking that great right now. And the last one we have, Carolina at Green Bay. Green Bay -8. We're going Green Bay.
That's a big number. -8 is a big number, sir.
It is. But Green Bay, that offense is looking legit right now. Carolina does not know what they're doing on both sides of the ball. So, yeah.
That's fair. All right, Rudy, do you have a rebuttal, sir? How do you like those picks?
Like them all. I think you're right on the Cowboys. The one pick that I'm interested in, it would be the Seattle-Washington. Washington's rolling right now. Their defense, I know they just played the Niners, but their defense has been playing pretty well all year. And Chase Young was the first time I saw him firsthand because they were playing my Niners, but he is an animal.
Absolute beast. Absolute beast.
Great defense, but I think Seattle, this is a really make-or-break game for Seattle, especially trying to get into that playoff push, especially with the NFC West being such a battle for what it is right now. I think Seattle needs to go out and put a stamp on the season with this game. So I'm riding Seattle.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like you and Rudy can, for the most part, agree on these picks. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
What I'm not going to agree on, though, is Derek, are you pizza in the air? There's no way logistically that's possible.
I'm just simply saying, okay, Elon Musk is doing amazing things. so do not discount this guy, okay?
You know how hard it is to refuel a plane in the air? You think they're going to get the pizza to you?
I'm just simply saying, at one point in time, nobody thought we'd ever fly, okay? Look where we are right now, all right?
So
I am simply saying they're refueling jets in the plane. I think within the next 100 years, the possibility of me being able to get a pizza delivered to me in a plane, it's going to be there. Or I can be delivered up to a plane myself.
Ooh.
That's another one as well.
Like
a plane in motion. Like, I missed my flight. I'm going to catch this other supersonic flight to that flight. Double flight.
Teleport
to
that plane.
Yeah. There we go. Not teleportation. That seems a little unrealistic. But you never know. Elon Musk. Am I right?
You are right.
100%. Oh, man.
Always good to have you, sir. Welcome back to the show. Now we're going to have to get you on weekly. Throughout at least the rest of the NFL season, so we could continue to make fun of you for your picks. Sound good?
Yeah, that's great.
All right, brother. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Mr. John Thomas Lucan, a.k.a. Sonny Slim. He will be back next week to give you his look into the futures. Talk to you then, my man.
All right, love you guys. Tiger's back.
Oh, God.
His son has a better chance these days.
And he hung up on us. Oh, man.
Dude, a dial tone, that's the roughest thing to hear, I feel, when you are just angry as hell at somebody and they get to you first. You're like, bastard.
I really miss being able to slam a phone down.
Right, the old school.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, just be able to hear a dial tone. I don't know.
There is something crazy
disrespectful. Very visceral about that.
Yeah.
That sound. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I miss about landlines is the dial tone.
Dial tone and the
click, click, click.
Yeah. It was nice. Felt good out there.
It was fun to just aggressively hang up on people. Where do you want to go from here? We have 11 minutes left.
I liked what you had on the bottom of your section down there.
You want to get to bad dating advice?
I think we should do it, yeah.
All right.
We've already had a nice...
we've been off the rails all show. Let's just
keep it going.
Let's sink into it.
Yeah, you know what?
So for years now on Flipside Radio, my listeners have hit me up and asked for I started a segment called Bad Dating Advice. Because basically, I don't really know what I'm talking about. It's not like I have a wife. So clearly, I feel like I'm in a pretty good situation now. But this is only because I've failed time and time and time again in my life when it comes to dating. You've basically sworn dating off for the last, 7 years.
It's been a weird streak. Yeah. I mean,
any serious, real serious dating.
Yes, I was saying, there's nothing to hang your hat on.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, there's no
other things on, but not my hat.
Oh.
That's just confusing.
Seems weird. Yeah, I don't know
what you're going for there.
I was trying to make that entendre, but it wasn't working for you.
So let's just get to bad dating advice.
Yeah, there's a bad dating joke right there.
So if you have an Instagram, you can hit us up on TBP, not a game. Message us your questions and stories for bad dating advice. You could also hit me up on the J-Ro Show on Instagram, the J-R-O Show. So, and here's something I should say on the front end. If you would like your name mentioned Let me know that you're okay with me saying your name. Otherwise, I'm just assuming this is all private information and you will be referred to as no name or anonymous on the show. So let's get into it. So the first bad dating advice question here is from one of those anonymous sources. And it says, I've been in a relationship for nearly 5 years now. I told my boyfriend last New Year's Eve that he had 1 year to pop the question or I was going to move on. With the new year coming up, I am worried that he still isn't going to propose. What do I do if he calls my bluff and doesn't propose? Give him respect, because that's I like that he just forewent your ultimatum there. I really don't want to leave him, but I also don't want to give him a meaningless ultimatum.
Well, you surely did when she said there's a bluff in there. So already saying that she's bluffing on it. So
she's already made up her mind is the way you're taking it. Yeah. So she's going to stick with him.
There's no teeth in your laws right now, girl. So yeah. if you want it to mean something.
You can't really go back and be like, I'm extending it one more year.
Yeah, no, that's just
I think you just need to call him out. If you don't have a ring, be like, I told you what was gonna happen. So we're taking a little break. Again, bad dating advice.
That's at some point in time, you have to, if that's what you want in your life, you have to be able to find that one person that's gonna go want that with you. So if that's the person who says, if they can't figure it out after 6 years of being together with somebody.
Here's the thing. If you need to start pressuring your significant other, I understand there's always at some point where it's like, we've been here for a while. Like, you can have the conversation, but when you have to drop ultimatums, might not be the best situation.
Especially after 5 years.
5 years?
Yeah.
It's
a long time.
It's a good amount of time to figure out it.
Honestly, sounds like somebody who doesn't want to have to worry about the ramifications of they don't want to be with you in 10 years. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, 5 years is a pooper get off the pot type sitch. Yeah. All right, let's keep it moving. Drew said we could use his name, so shout out our man Drew. Says, big fan of Flipside and talking about practice. Thank you, Drew. Said, I met you guys a couple years ago at B Street. Sounds like us. You guys were just coming from the radio show, I believe. I took a disgusting shot of some minty herbal stuff with you and Derek. Ferrari.
He definitely
took a Ferrari with us. And you're welcome, sir. Go ahead and order a Ferrari next time you go into the bar and tell me it's still disgusting. And then take like six more and you'll love it.
Yep. I'm going to tell you, the bartenders are going to like you if you do it.
They will. Yeah. They'll know that you know something about bartending by asking that question. Yeah. So there you go. A little inside tip for any of you out there. You want to sound cool to a bartender, ask for a Ferrari. Fernet and Campari, for those
if the person, the bartender doesn't know what it is, that bartender is not cool.
Not cool at all.
Not cool
but
at all.
Also, if you order it and you don't know what it is,
you should know.
Yeah. You've had that situation as a bartender, right? Someone orders something and they're like, well,
if you tell me what it is, I can know. You're like, oh, I have no idea what it is. I'm like,
yeah, I've just heard of it.
I was like, okay.
No, we're not doing that. I'm just going to make something up. He says, anyways, which is a personal beef of mine. I hate when people say that. But Drew's a big fan of the show, so I'm gonna let it slide. Anyways, I just moved to SF from Chico a couple months ago for work. No, this is not John on a burner account, or is it?
No.
I have a good job and I'm decent looking. Hey, I appreciate the confidence. I'd say I'm a 7.7 out of 10. Wow.
I like his very, very direct with it. 7.7.
Yeah. 7.7, he really did some soul searching. Right. He's like, not quite an 8, but I'm better than your average, but I'm not totally average.
I feel like it's a respectful place to be.
7.7,
he's
solid.
He's not overexerting himself, but he feels like he's honest.
Agreed. Yeah. So I'm a 7.7 of 10, and I have a nice apartment of my own in North Beach, SF. That's a nice area. Good for you, Drew. My question is, how do I meet girls during a pandemic? I can't exactly go to the bars and gyms are closed. First of all, to these dudes hitting on girls at gyms, just stop.
That's not a good place, man.
Not the spot. You guys are walking out at the same time or something? Okay.
Yeah.
Leave them alone at the gym. If they approach you, cool. Otherwise, a simple hello or are you done with that equipment, you know? That's it.
Yeah.
Don't be creepy at the gym. We're all just trying to sweat and be better people, except for those bros who are taking Instagram photos, and there's a nice place in hell for
all
of you.
We're there for the people that want to kick ass, not get ass, okay?
Thank you. Hey. So he says, I can't exactly go to the bars and gyms are closed. I've tried my hand at online dating with mixed results. Not to mention, blind dates are a little more difficult to do during a pandemic. Also, what do I put in my house to make it more female friendly? Thanks. Love the show. Bring back the pod. The pod's coming back. Yeah, Don't worry about that. That's on the way. We'll actually post this show probably tonight. But this show will be up there. And then we are going to do pod exclusive stuff starting next month when we have our studio back. So there you have it. So let's break down this question. His question is how he says he's had mixed results with the online dating thing, how to meet girls during a pandemic. Do you have that same question too, my man?
But,
like we all do.
It's a tough one out there, and that's the thing. Online, I feel like that's probably the way to go, because especially in SF, like that place is for sure locked down. You know, and it is. You're everyone's kind of a little tentative, especially in the feeling the big cities. They're all everyone's got like a yardstick between. Actually, 6 foot stick.
Two yard sticks taped together at the ends.
Yes, that's what they got.
Yeah.
So I feel you on that, man. It's a tough out there, tough world to go in. I would still say the Tinder game is probably the Tinder Bumble game. That's probably still your best bet.
Yeah, agreed.
And the problem with that, though, you got to be able to find a way to keep that spicy. I'm not good on those, so I don't really go down that road because I don't have success on the Tinder world. It's not my world. I'm not good
in
there.
I get it.
So if you're not that type of guy, I don't know, man.
I think your best bet is whatever friends you do have, if you've made friends in the city, whatever small gatherings they're doing right now, try to be social. I mean, listen, not being able to go out to bars and drink and be social is a killer for single people. Mm-hmm. You know, that is 9 out of 10 times how you meet one. I'm not saying the one. Because meeting a girl blackout drunk, probably not the one.
The one for the night.
Correct. But I would say, you know, you are working at an extreme disadvantage right now, and I feel for you. But I would try my hand. I would try to jump back into the online dating scene. I think that's your best bet.
I feel like that's where everyone's at right now. So I think a lot of people are just willing to extend it and like just find ways to have dates that are just super casual and easy going.
Yeah.
Go to the beach, go on a hike, something easy like
nice
that.
Nice and simple.
Yeah. Keep it simple.
Don't try to do too much.
Yeah. Just go for. I like the do something outdoorsy.
Yeah.
Go for a hike. Go for a walk. Grab a coffee, walk around some blocks. San Francisco's got plenty of dope spots to go check out and to go for a nice little hike. And here's the great thing about a hike. You drive, they drive. You can go then to the same place because you're in separate cars. Or you could drive your separate ways and never talk to each other again. Yep. So
now, on your second part of your question right now, you're asking what to do in your apartment. If that happens to bring her back, both those cars end up at the same house.
Yes.
And it's your house.
Yes.
Things to have in there. Like I said, one tip to every guy. Whenever you go out for the night, no matter the... Granted, this is pre-COVID, but even still, keep it in mind. Make sure your house is at a point where if you bring somebody back, you're happy with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, always it can be shown off. It's always, doesn't have to be spotless.
No, but at least like I'm decent. Okay with people coming back in there.
Yeah.
There's not make dirty sure, underwear around, you know, all around your bed.
The most important area to make sure is clean is your bathroom.
Always.
Do not have it looking like a frat house in there. Nothing will chase that girl away quicker than having a disgusting bathroom.
And we've always mentioned candles go a long way.
Every day.
Yeah, do yourself a favor. Hit up Bath & Body Works.
You got to have at least 3 candles. One for your living room, one for your room, one for the bathroom.
And you're going to say, damn, candles are expensive. Aren't they all just candles? They're not. They are not.
I'm learning that out myself right now, my dude.
Do not try and save money on candles. Okay? Whatever. Candles, tattoos, prostitutes. 3 things you should never take a discount on, okay?
Truth.
And other than
I take it back. Candles, I'm willing to go down the tree. I'm not going down. As long as it gets me through the week.
Okay, that's fair. All right, so just tattoos and prostitutes. Yeah. Never take a discount. Not good items to get a discount on. And one thing that Derek and I, we've discussed this at length on the pod before. So go back a couple episodes and you can listen to us break down all the amenities and things you should purchase. Make sure you have a couple bottles of wine.
That's always
the
key.
That's easy money.
Make sure you have a red and a white, too.
You never know which way they're going to go.
Be prepared. It's always nice to be prepared. Like I said, wine. You don't need anything else. If you got wine, you're good with just wine.
Yeah.
And I would also say, too, make sure your bed is made before you go out, or at least inviting.
Yes.
You want your bed to be inviting. Make sure it's got a nice, fluffy comfort. It's comfortable.
Yes.
Have a comfortable-looking bed.
Again, so it doesn't have to be spotless. Just make sure it's put together. It looks like you took some time to put it together. And the decor and all that, it really isn't going to matter.
Not particularly.
It really isn't going to matter. No. Make sure you don't have posters pinned up on the wall. If you do have posters, I get it. Just put them in a frame. You know?
Yeah, I'm living by that rule myself where I just got posters up, but they all got some sentimental value, but I don't care. You can still get away with it, my man.
You could, yeah, it's not gonna be a deterrent.
A dirty bathroom in a disgusting bedroom will.
Yeah, it's a wrap. Yeah, it's a wrap. Yeah, unless she's gross. Yeah. Yeah,
that's, unless she doesn't care.
If she doesn't care, then you got bigger problems on your hand, my man, and that is not the one.
Yes.
So there you go, Drew. We have one more, but let's do this in the post-game show because we are just about out of time here. We got about a minute left. Do you have any grinds my gears? You want to do one real quick, or
let's go for it right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Derek Isamaki with quick.
You know what really grinds my gears?
People that don't like button-down flies. People that say that zippers are the only way. No, zippers are very dangerous in that area. Button-down flies, never do you wrong.
Fair enough. Yeah, you got another quick one?
Give me 1 second. I got to. Yeah, I probably do. Yeah, go for it. Just say it.
You know what really grinds my gears?
People are saying that their dog is smart because it can, like, fetch a stick. Kind of going back to, like, kids saying your kid's smart.
Yeah,
your dog could do some basic things. Congratulations. Yeah. It's not going to solve world problems, okay? It just sits there, gets fed. It's a basic dog, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, it can fetch me a beer? Congratulations, you've trained it well. It's a mundane, easy task. It smells something, you say something, it does it. Congratulations.
Agreed. I couldn't agree more.
Me too.
You've never made more sense, my friend. Well, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun, actually. We will be back next Monday, 5:30 p.m. right here. Same bat channel, same bat time.
What were you trying to say?
I don't know. I don't really know. What didn't they used to say, like, on the